Lots of things are good in our life, but still we have to limit them. But when it comes to your gratitude, being thankful, showing appreciation, listen, gratitude is one of those things in our life that can be boundless. It needs no limitations and no restrictions. Boundless gratitude. So I want to today in this message, I want to stir your faith up so that you can live. I'm going to build a foundation, or lots of you, I'll just be adding to the foundation of faith that you have. But I want you to look at your faith in the light of how it can produce in your life boundless gratitudes. Now listen, when you take the bounds off your gratitude, God will take any boundaries that have been on your blessings off. Come on, so let's learn to live with boundless gratitude. And let's begin this morning by reading our text and just going back over a couple of truths that we've already learned in this message. I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says, pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Now, we began the first week by saying that gratitude is more than an attitude. Certainly, it's the way we think. It's the way we look at life. But gratitude really should be our lifestyle. And Paul says here too, or he admonishes us to live life with eyes wide open in gratitude. Now, let's just define gratitude again. We've defined gratitude, first of all, as a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. It's the quality of being thankful. And gratitude is also defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary as an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or a benefit received. Listen, it's that emotion where deep inside from your heart, you are grateful for all that God has done, for what that person added to your life. It flows, this gratefulness flows from your heart. And really, to live life with our eyes wide open in gratitude, we need to make sure that our heart is grateful. Now, we also learned this, that life has a way of getting us to close our eyes because circumstances happen, disappointments come, things don't work out like we wanted them to, and so we sometimes get dissatisfied with the way things are. Listen, we all have something in our life right now that we're just not happy about the way it's going. Or we've been waiting so long for such and such. Well, often in those seasons in our life, and they do come in seasons, we can become discontent. And when we become discontented, we become ungrateful for what we do have because we're focused on what we don't have. And we said that discontentment puts blinders on our eyes and we're blind to the goodness of God. We're blind to the hand of God working in our life. And we simply said this, the cure, express your gratitude. We said this, gratitude expressed from the heart removes the blinders of discontentment. Now, as we begin this message today, boundless gratitude, I want to go back to last week and read the passage from Timothy, 1 Timothy, that we read last week when we talked about being duped by the devil. And so let's start there, and then we'll go on into the message today. But go with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the truth. Faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. Now, Paul, an aged minister here, is telling this young minister that there are going to be some deceiving spirits, that some people are going to be deceived, and they are going to teach that deception, and what they are teaching is influenced by demons. Ooh. When we are ungrateful, we are being influenced by none other than the devil. Come on. But in particular here, Paul is saying to Timothy, Paul's saying, this doctrine of devils is all about getting you to doubt the goodness of God and not to receive what God has already provided with thanks. In fact, Dr. Tony Evans says this about this passage. He said, false teachers under the influence of devils were trying to keep Christians from fully enjoying what God had provided. I said this, when it comes to the devil's doctrine, it's any teaching that keeps us from believing in or receiving God's goodness. And really, we said this, this doctrine just plants a little seed in our heart that God's not good, that he's withholding something from you. And really, we say that when we believe that God's not good and we just get focused on what isn't and we doubt that he's going to work this out for good, we're really kind of being duped by the devil. We talked about how Eve was duped by the devil in the garden. And really, we said this, if we've been duped by the devil, if we begin to doubt the goodness of God, we are focused on the one thing we can't have. What did Eve focus on? The devil got her to focus on the one tree in the middle of the garden she couldn't eat. We're duped by the devil when we've become ungrateful for all we have. There are lots of other trees in the garden that Adam and Eve could have eaten from. But what were they focused on? What did the devil get them to focus on? Listen, you may not recognize it, but it's a demonic influence. The Bible says there's a sway in this world toward the enemy, and he's moving you to focus on that didn't happen. Look what you didn't do. You're not enough. We got to combat the enemy. If our eyes are wide open in gratitude, we see that God is good and we give him thanks. You see, the devil wants to limit our Christian life to what we can't do and or what we can't have and can't do. You need to let that sink in. Let's talk about boundless gratitude. Let's talk about taking the limits off, so that you just don't get stuck on what you can't have and what you can't do. Because listen, that's one of the big temptations in life, is to get stuck on the promotion that you haven't gotten and how the other person got it and what you don't have and come on. And then we become ungrateful. But boundless gratitude removes the limits off your thanksgiving. We talk about the word boundless. It means no limits, no restrictions, limitless. What would our lives be like if our gratitude had no limits, no restrictions? We never stopped giving God thanks. We were thankful for God for everything that he's done. Now listen, when we take the limits off our gratitude, we also take the limits off our blessings. Wow. Now, when we talk about taking the limits off our blessings, boundless gratitude, how do we really, though, live life with boundless gratitudes? With boundless gratitude. Because you see, life is full of trials, in case you didn't know. Troubles come. And we've got to know how to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to give you tools this morning. Listen, I believe every good church ought to be like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, just filled with good tools. Come on. And then I'm going to give you those tools. In fact, sometimes I'm just going to tell you what tools you already have. And this is the important part. I'm going to tell you how to use that tool and what that tool can do for you. WIFM is playing this morning. What's in it for me? Yeah. And really, God wants you to know what's in it for you. He sent Jesus for you. He died for you. There's a lot of things in it for you. So let's talk about boundless gratitude. And here's what I believe. If ingratitude stems from doubting the goodness of God, then boundless gratitude stems from faith, unshakable faith in God's goodness. When we believe in the goodness of God, we can give thanks no matter what. God and good go together. Let me read you a portion of the passage that we just read in Timothy, but I want to read again just verse 4 and just expound on that for a moment as I build your faith in the goodness of God so that you can live life with boundless gratitude. 1 Timothy 4:4 says this, since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. Everything God creates is good. Do you remember the account of the creation of the world and the creation of man in the very beginning? So often God would create and then he would stand back and he'd say, it's good. And then he'd create something else and he said, and it is good. You see, you got to know this about God. Everything he creates is good. There's nothing that God hasn't created that's not good. Now hear me on this. If good's gone bad, it's because the devil tampered with it. Yeah. Or it's because you messed it up, but God didn't create it that way. Yeah. Come on. Remember that little prayer? Maybe you were taught it when you were growing up. I know I was. Simple little prayer, and it says, God is great. God is good. And then what's the next stanza? Let us thank him. Can you just stop there? Yeah, let us thank him for his food, but could we thank him for everything? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him. He got you up this morning. Some people say, well, he gets me up every morning. I'm not so thankful for that. Well, what if he didn't get you up one morning? How would that work? Now, let me define good, too. We need to define good the way God defines good. And this word good, if you just look up the Greek word, it's where it comes from. It finds its roots in the Greek, this passage does. The word good means beneficial, benign, virtuous, valuable. You see, that's what God considers good. When it says everything that God created is good, everything that God creates is beneficial to you. It is benign. That means it's harmless. It is valuable and it is virtuous. It will give you energy to live a virtuous, full life. You see, we serve a good God. In fact, we could just say this. God defines good as beneficial, not harmful. Now, we need to make this separation here. Because you see, man, in our thoughts without God, and in our, you might say, in our carnality, we sometimes think good means enjoyable. And if it's not enjoyable, it's not good. That's not what God says. You know what? That second pie may be enjoyable, but it's not good for you. Yeah. You know what? There's some things that for the moment, they may bring some pleasure, but in the end, they will not benefit you. They will not be enjoyable. And yet, there are some things like exercise that aren't enjoyable at the moment, but oh, will it benefit you? Now, let me just make sure you understand this. Also, it says God defines good as not harmful. So don't get off into some religious thinking and think that God does harm. He does not. He doesn't cause wrecks. He doesn't cause sickness. Those are harmful things. Now, God is so good that in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sickness, he can work things together to benefit you. But sickness does not benefit anyone. Wrecks don't benefit anyone. I remember years ago, I walked into a hospital room and a person had been hit by a truck, a semi-truck, and thank God they were still alive. But the family member told me that this person had come to Jesus and that God had sent that truck. I said, that's not the God I serve. But you see, they were trying to make sense. You can't blame them. They've not been taught. And the emotions of that moment, this person is alive, their family member, this person's come to Jesus. But now listen, you got to separate. God is good, but he never harms us. He brought good out of what the devil meant for harm. So listen, only thank him for the good. Don't thank him for stuff that's not good. Now, let's talk for a moment, too, as we continue to look at the goodness of God. You need to get this, okay? And really, my hat's off to Dr. Tony Evans, too. I listened to a message of his on gratitude, and he brought this out. And, man, it's taken me days to get what he said in just a couple of lines. But it really comes from the truth that's in God's Word. And this has to do with God's goodness, that God is unchanging. So go with me to James chapter 1, starting with verse 16. And here's what it says about God. It says, don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights and heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Now, let's just go back for just a moment about God being good. Let's talk about that for a moment. Here, James, who actually was a half-brother of Jesus, he was raised in the home with Jesus, and he's writing this to the church in the early days, and he says, now, God, like a father, gives good gifts. Now, I'm going to go back to the definition that we said of good, that it's beneficial, not harmful. Isn't that like a good father? A good father doesn't always do just what the child would enjoy. They do what in the long term is going to be beneficial. Doing your homework isn't always fun. But the father knows that if they will give discipline to that child and they will discipline the child to do their homework, that that's going to be beneficial and not harmful long term. But they are not going to send their child out in the street to play in the street so a truck can hit him so they'll learn not to play in the street. That's harmful. A good father doesn't do that. Yeah, you got to get this right. God is a good God, and he's likened here to a good father who gives good gifts. Not everything that we enjoy in life is good for us or beneficial. There's temporary enjoyment. Now, we know this as a good father. He would never withhold anything beneficial for us. And he will say no to those things that could potentially harm us. And so when the enemy's telling you, oh, do that and enjoy that, say, oh, no, no, no. If God said no, I know he's good. I know he's a good father. He would not withhold something from me that could be beneficial to me, but he will say no if it's going to harm me because he loves me. Yes. Yes. Let's talk about, also in this passage, let's talk about God's immutability. And really, James brings out the characteristic of God that he is immutable. He does not change. He is consistent. And James brings out that trait of God in the light of God being a good father who gives good gifts. And here's how James talks about the immutability of God. He calls God the Father of lights. And he reminds us that God created all the luminaries in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. And he said, but the thing about God, he never casts a shadow. You know, here's the truth. The sun, the moon, and the stars are always in the sky. They don't disappear, but we don't always see them. And then take the sun. The sun, powerful source of light, energy. But shadows come over the earth. That shadow is called night. Well, what happened? Did the sun go out? No, you know what happened. The earth turned. And because the earth is turning, when it turns away from the sun, it loses the light that the sun gives. The sun is still shining. The sun is as powerful as it always was. Who moved? Listen, God is always good. He is as powerful as he always was. He's not changed. Who moved? Listen, if there is a shadow in our life, God hasn't moved. We have. You see, ingratitude will cause us to turn our back on the sun. God's still there. God's still good. He is immutable. He never changes. He will always be a good father who always will do the very best thing for his kids. That's who he is. But if we turn, we'll no longer see his goodness. And you know what James is telling us here? James is telling us that we need to orient ourselves. We need to live life focused on the sun, focused on God. And if there are shadows all around us, it doesn't matter. If it gets dark, it doesn't matter. No more than we think, oh no, the sun has gone out. It's dark. No, we know the sun's going to rise in the morning. Just check in here. Anybody ever got up and the sun didn't rise? Anybody? You see, so God is saying through James here, you want to see my immutability? Then look at what I created. And every day I am reminding you that I am a good father who gives good gifts to his children. Make sure you are pointed in the right direction, and your gratitude always causes you to be facing the good God that you serve. And come on, boundless gratitude. Why do we have boundless gratitude? We have boundless gratitude because of God's immutability, because we put faith in a good God who never changes. And we know if it's not good, he is working it out for good, because that's who he is. He does not change. He cannot change. Our belief in his goodness keeps us facing the sun. Our gratitude is not bound to circumstances. Our gratitude is not bound to our pain. Our gratitude knows no limits or boundaries. Too often we have a bad day or circumstances go bad and they gain our attention. And we turn, we turn, we turn, we turn, we turn. When really, we need to make sure that we continue to give thanks. We believe in the immutability of our God. We believe that he is great and he is good. You see, the reason God does good things is because he is good. He is intrinsically good. That is who he is. Now, I didn't say he was a pushover. Because you come after me and you'll just see. The devil comes after you. God's already done everything that he needed to do in Christ so that you could experience his goodness. He defeated the devil for you. But we have to believe in his goodness. And there is this sway, this demonic influence in our world that try to get us to doubt the very goodness of God. But when we believe that God is good, takes the boundaries off our gratitude. I remember going through a season in my life where I was just so discontented about this one thing that wasn't happening or the way that it was happening. And I remember God just began to deal with me about getting out of that place of discontentment. And I knew that the cure for that was to be thankful. So, man, I started thanking God for everything. Come on, that's boundless gratitude. Thank God for everything. God, I thank you. One of my family members was having an operation, my cousins, and he was having to have one of his toes removed. And I was praying for him that morning. And then I just said, God, I want to thank you for all 10 of my toes. God, I want to thank you. I have 10 fingers. God, I want to thank you. I got up this morning. God, I want to thank you for this home I live in. God, I want to thank you for the green grass. God, there's so much to thank you for. I want to thank you for Jesus. Thank you that I'm forgiven. I want to end this message today, though, with something that we all need when it comes to living in boundless gratitude. Because here's what I know about every one of us, no one excluded. So everybody's included. Don't you like that when you're all included? Well, you're all included in this. We're all going to make a mistake. Amen. We're all going to at times turn and focus on the bad day, focus on the disappointment. And we find ourselves back to the sun. Well, I got a story for you. It's going to help you. It's going to bless you. And you're going to remember this story when maybe you turn your back. You ready? Let's go to Luke chapter 17. And I want to read you the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. Many of you are familiar with this story where 10 lepers come to Jesus. They ask for his healing. And Jesus heals all 10 lepers. But let me pick it up here where all 10 are healed. They're walking away from Jesus. Luke 17, 15. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. He was a Samaritan. 10 lepers came to Jesus, asked for healing, and because of who Jesus was, he healed all 10. All 10 walked away healed. One, realizing he had been healed, comes back and expresses thanks. Listen, when you come to Jesus, something good is going to happen. We come to Jesus and then we walk away forgiven. We walk away healed. We walk away with answers to a problem, situation we've been struggling with, the wisdom of God. We walk away. And we forget sometimes because life pours, it rains, and we're just focusing on the rain, and we forget what he did for us. But the good news is you can walk it back. The good news is the moment you realize that you forgot to say thank you, the moment you realize that your back is to the sun, you can turn back. Listen, gratitude is a choice that you make, and it is never too late to walk back, to turn back, and say thank you. In fact, this one leper went back, and it said he couldn't thank Jesus enough. Listen, here's my prayer for every one of us today, that the Holy Spirit would help us realize all that Jesus has done for us. Wow. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And he will help us. I want to go on a little further with this. Because I haven't even gotten to the best part yet. Ready for the best part? Yeah. Boundless gratitude. Let's read on in this passage. Jesus goes on to say to this leper, verse 17, Luke 17:17 says, Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? So Jesus is asking about you if you're ungrateful. He hadn't forgot you. I think that's wonderful. That even though I forgot to say thank you, Jesus remembers me. He says, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now listen to verse 19. This is the power of boundless gratitude. It says, and Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Well, wait a minute. I thought he had already been healed of leprosy. But this, thank you. This word, healed, is not just any word. It's not the common word that's used for healed. It's actually the Greek word sozo, which means to be made whole. You know what leprosy did? Leprosy ate away at your extremities, your fingers, your toes. Literally, it ate you up. Our leprosy today is cancer. It's the one thing nobody wants to hear, they have cancer. Back in Jesus' day, no one wanted to hear they had leprosy. Listen, this word sozo, can you put up the definition of the word sozo? Not only does it mean to save, it also means the present experience of God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin to make whole. Listen, 9 lepers were healed. 1 leper found the healer. Amen. 1 leper was saved for eternity. 1 leper came back and met Jesus and was made completely whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now, I can just see, he runs back all of a sudden. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, so I'm going to take some liberties here, but it does say he's been made whole. So I just believe too. He went back, his fingers started growing back out, his toes started growing back out. He ran to the other 9 and he said, look, I've met. But listen, I don't even believe that that leper was as excited about his fingers as he was about the person of Jesus Christ who saved his soul. Wow, for eternity, throughout eternity, that man's going to say, thank you, Jesus. Now, here's my question. Are you more excited about the healing or the healer? Are you more excited about the good things that God has done? Or today, are you grateful for the God, the good God that has done them? Wow. Bottom line is, if for some reason we've put a limit on our gratitude, we can turn around and we can once again take the limits off. Today you can take the limits off your gratitude. I don't care how, it's never too late to say thank you to Jesus. You can go back and say thanks. Now listen, let me just repeat this again. When our gratitude is boundless, so are our blessings. When our gratitude is boundless, so are our blessings. Let's bow our heads as we close out this service today. Oh, Father, we are so grateful. Could you just take a moment and say thank you to God for the good things that he's done in your life? Just between you and God. I mean, come on. Let's let this place be filled with thanks to God right now. Oh, God, you are good. Oh, you